presentation today is Dr. Mitchell. She has been conducting research focusing on disparities in children and adolescent health outcomes. Currently, she's a postdoctoral fellow at the Center for Prevention of Youth Behavior at the University of Alabama. She will present her work on exploring the relationship of parent health literacy and adherence to treatment in children with epilepsy.
Hello everyone, I'm Shaquila Mitchell and thank you for joining me for my presentation and exploring really the relationship between parental health literacy and adherence to epilepsy treatment and management among youth. So I'm going to present this in collaboration with Dr. Angela Pascal at the University of Alabama. Disclosure statement, so there are none. And just to give you a little bit of background, we use in health education Healthy People 2020 to really as benchmarks and kind of universal goals to strive for a healthy population. So just looking at a little bit of background or what health literacy is defined by Healthy People, it's the degree to which individuals have the capacity to really obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to really make healthy decisions. And health literacy does impact about 90 million individuals of the U.S. population. And when we look at health literacy levels compared to among parent groups, those with lower literacy really result in higher aversions to healthy behaviors for their kids. So we're able to see that there are higher dosing errors among parents with lower literacy levels and also unhealed health needs. There are worse health outcomes when we look at asthmatic groups, more emergency room visits and hospitalizations and missed school, and also for the parents, missed time at work. We've also been able to see with asthma and also in epilepsy that the more of the social support, lower reported, perceived report among family, communities, and schools, higher levels of worry, and this impacts the quality of life of the parents. So they seem to feel really isolated when we look at rural parts of Alabama. A little bit more about epilepsy. So it's also characterized as having at least like two unprovoked seizures, and it's very common among the U.S. population. But despite the prevalence of obesity, it's been really major overlooked, which really poses a significant public health threat. And what we've seen with our project, among 146 families, that is highly stigmatized. So parents really feel like that they don't have many individuals to talk about this, and really it's posing a barrier for their children to be treated normally and perceived like the proper, receive proper educations in schools. The most common method of treatment is medication. So adherence, so that's just generally means, you know, how much are we really aligning our diet and behaviors and practices to what, you know, our physician is telling us, whereas non-adherence is going to be failure to comply. And specifically to epilepsy, we're going to see an increased spike in frequencies of seizures if you're, you know, failure to really align with what the physician has recommended, spiked trips to the emergency room, and also, unfortunately, sudden unexpected death with epilepsy among children. So we measure epilepsy in two ways. We looked at direct methods. There are direct methods to use and indirect. Directly is more biological, where you're able to get some, you know, plasma samples, hair, and look at saliva excretions. More similar to our study, we really looked at medication adherence through three open-ended questions and would like to look at more common tools used to kind of expand how we look at adherence. Pill counts, appointment attendance, reviewing those medical records, have your medications been refilled, and also just the occurrence of their seizures among the children. That's really how we examine this concept in our study. So when we look at the relationship between health literacy and medication adherence, it's very just a limited amount of information in the literature associated with children. Much of the studies have been reported among adults. And because of very sensitive and stigmatized nature of working with children, that are really exposed or dealing with epilepsy, that this study provides really a critical foundation for understanding what's happening in rural areas and pockets of the population with the burdens associated with managing the disease. So we really had to pull in all the stops to really recruit and get parents to talk about it and assure them that this information was going to be treated in a confidential nature. So the purpose of the study was simply really to examine the relationship between parent health literacy and treatment adherence in children with epilepsy. And then we also really wanted to capture how parents felt about what would be really the critical intervention strategies to really help them manage the health of their family. So this was a cross-sectional study and non-experimental in nature, and we did have 146 families participate and children aged 1 through 12 residing in Alabama. And literally we had to take a very comprehensive approach to really reach the families that was willing to participate, meet face-to-face. We did do a few direct interviews, and most of the interviews were done by phone. So we had a lot of key partners that had access to databases that parents that received treatment in our local areas. And this study was approved by the University of Alabama's IRB. So for recruitment, we did compensate each family $50 incentive, and this was well needed. Some parents drove 2 hours one way to participate in the interview, but we did recommend phone interviews as well for those that were just too, you know, kind of far out of reach. We did have CRS, so the Child Rehabilitation Services, that offered their databases and places where we could recruit and also posted information on the internet and kind of word of mouth through hospitals and neurology clinics in our area. So the interview process was using a modified instrument developed by Pascal et al. 2014 and Kramer in 2002, and really modified and adjusted for our rural population. The survey instrument consisted of about 60 questions, and it took about an hour and a half for administration. So we had questions related to background, you know, income, education level, your repetition or able to remember to administer epilepsy medication, ability to make appointments, and then a measure based on those three open-ended questions to really obtain the health literacy level among the parents. And what provided a really rich database of this study was really identifying and becoming familiar with what parents felt that they needed to manage this condition a little bit better for their family. And our entire interview guide was on a sixth grade level. So the three questions that I were referring to is how we capture health literacy. As you know, how often does someone, do you have someone in your family or a family member, friend, hospital worker read the materials, the applications with you? How often do you have problems learning about your medical condition because of difficulty understanding written information? And then how confident are you in filling out the medical forms by yourself? And most parents were willing to admit that they may require some assistance with filling out the forms. But, you know, generally, depending on how long you've been managing these conditions, they were really pretty familiar with the paperwork involved between their medical appointments. So when we looked at the direct measures, we looked at, in this study specifically, missed doses or skipped doses. Not a matter of reason, but how frequently, you know, has your child missed, you know, a necessary dose or a needed dose of anti-epileptic medication, seizure frequencies, and also missed medical appointments. Our data analysis literally looked at just the association between obtaining your and understanding that basic health information and then those other adherence factors that are related to medication adherence, which I'll present a little bit later. But we use univariate analysis and non-parametric testing to look at the relationship between the two variables with SPSS 22.0 version. So just the demographics, most of our parents were female. Almost half had high school education level with you know, about $55,000 annually in income. Most children were white, non-Hispanic, female children, and had some form of health insurance. When you look at the literacy levels among the 146 families, we were happy to see that most levels were adequate. Again, our health literacy measure were 3 open-ended questions. So the majority of our group had an adequate and marginal level of health literacy, self-reported health literacy levels. Those variables that were associated significantly with parent health literacy was the education level, income, and also having some form of health insurance. When we look specifically at the 3 measures of health literacy, we're able to see that for those parents that reported inadequate in marginal areas, you know, you see that they have more levels of missed medication from the 4 or 5 times or 3 to 4 in the past 30 days. So this is where we're starting to see that relationship between really understanding the basic health information and, you know, being able to digest that and the relationship with this missed or skipped doses among kids. We also saw among this group that there was a significant relationship between the parents' health literacy level and also the frequency in seizures in the past 30 days. However, the levels of significance really declined when we looked at the association among those groups and missed medical appointments. And I will say that, you know, most of the clinics and hospitals, they have a very comprehensive approach to reminding you. And really, it's such a long wait to make some of those medical appointments. Parents generally did not miss a lot of scheduled appointments. When they were, it was due to transportation issues. So overall, we did see, in terms of significant relationships between the two, health literacy is associated with those missed or skipped doses and also the frequency of seizures at significant levels. Other adherence factors that we looked at were the perceived level of support, which was also reported at significant levels, with missed medications, number of seizures, and medical appointments at the significant level. And then parents generally really reached out and really reported that the perceived lack of support, and we found that that was really associated with missing doses and seizures as well. Some of the questions that we talked about really adding and examining is also other number of children that you're caring for at, you know, school age in the home. Also having spousal support as well, and then number of persons working in the household, financial and emotional burdens of seizure management was just really tremendous among the group. And we saw that most parents, as the children really got older, it was difficult to really co-manage medications, you know, children being honest about taking that seizure medication due to side effects and how you felt during school hours. So that was really a significant relationship that we really want to expound on. So just for ranking the perceived barriers that most of the families reported, number 1 in rank order was just simply forgetting. Some of the alternatives to that, you know, some parents reported that, you know, if they administer medication at the same time every day, it's easier not to forget. But if you travel or something happens, just, you know, that changes up that routine, then a lot of times that parent, you know, forgot to give the medication. And also side effects, you know, came up generally, you know, quite a bit, because they really felt like they didn't want to see their child just so sedated on the medication. So a parent will make a choice to, you know, skip a dose. But the financial strain with affording the medication, and also we'll see a little bit later, the fees associated with clinic visits was also a tremendous strain on these families. Associated with health literacy, we were able to see number 3 in rank order, not really understanding epilepsy. The general public's knowledge about what epilepsy is still very much, you know, lacking among this population. So, you know, parents, you learn when their child was diagnosed, but they still, you know, felt like a support group or camps for children with epilepsy where they could be at rest knowing that their child would be taken care of is something they really lended during the open-ended portions of the interview. We'll also see in terms of parents' suggestions about developing interventions to address epilepsy was they really wanted more resources available to them that was local to their community, and also the opportunity to really, you know, sit among other parents who were different, you know, just told a couple of weeks ago your child has epilepsy to someone who's been dealing with it for a couple of years. They really felt like they would be able to really work together in a group and manage this condition in a more supportive way if they were given kind of a venue in forms of a support group or also kind of after school or respite care for children. In rank order 2 and 3 are associated with more of the financial burden, but in terms of health literacy, you know, there was a little bit of traction about making sure the information was age appropriate and at schools. And, you know, again, those associated with the financial and being able to make the payments associated with getting the treatment that you needed. But I will say that, you know, most of the parents that participated felt it was an honor to really provide the best care, you know, for their child and wanted them to be treated with dignity and as normal, you know, as possible. And, you know, while it was a lot of stress, day-to-day appointments and medication and not really knowing what would trigger it in, you know, public settings, they talked about a lot of shame of a seizure at the mall or a baseball game. They really felt honored to care for their child, and a smile from their face really gave them the strength to continue. So even though, you know, a lot of the interviews, the parents did it really admit that they were stressed and juggled a lot of tasks, it was an honor to really care for the person because most of the time the energy of the child is what that kept them going. So lastly, we're really able to report that there was a relationship with a parent's ability to really obtain and understand the appropriate information related to epilepsy, and this was associated with their education level, income, and form of insurance. We did see that health literacy is significantly associated with adherence in terms of the missed doses and seizure frequency. However, it lost significance when we looked at medical appointments. Other barriers that parents admitted were really fully understanding epilepsy, especially those families that were newly diagnosed and their willingness to want to reach out to parents who had been experiencing or managing the condition a little bit longer. And then what was expected of you during epilepsy care. So some suggestions that we have kind of based on our data, it shows that health education is really critical to really providing the information that the parents really are suggesting that they need to manage the condition and really understand the decisions that they need to make to ensure that their family is going to be, you know, as healthy as possible. We also saw that parents really are willing to, you know, be in more of a supportive group to help them really manage this condition, and this was associated as a cited barrier by parents. Older children, that's really a specialized area that we like to further kind of explore, you know, why the medications are being missed more so as the child ages out. They're more independent in terms of, you know, having to take their own medication. Your parent is not there to give it to you, but we did see an increase missed or skipped dosage as the children age. And then this also really provides the opportunity to really step back and listen to what the parents are saying in a very timely way to really strengthen the interventions that are out there among epilepsy research and then also our service providers. So overall, the limitations associated with this study is a small sample size, and we would like to really identify some comparative group to really expand how we understand literacy in its relationship to health-related behaviors. We did rely on self-reported data, and, you know, this is really an adequate method in identifying epilepsy research. It's been cited in the literature, but another way to kind of strengthen that is to match this and cross-check with clinical and medical records and also refills on your prescriptions and also seizure frequency as well. And our adherence measurement definitely can be expanded to include some of those other factors versus just 3 questions to really measure such a complicated kind of item. This was very limited in scope, in terms of the issues that we explore. However, we're going to really work to strengthen the partnership with our epilepsy partners who are doing the service day-to-day to really get the information that the parents need on the ground. Like I mentioned earlier, we really should increase the sample size and really expand our understanding of health literacy and its relationship to seizure management, really start to get funding and approval to really assess biological samples that are going to include the saliva, the plasma, or the hair samples, and also be able to partner and have access to those electronic medical records will be key. And further really explore health literacy and what it means to making the appropriate health decisions. And lastly, our really findings really imply that parents are willing to talk once you can find those isolated few that are, you know, willing to kind of be champions for what they're experiencing. And it's important to really link those parents with, you know, newly diagnosed families in epilepsy management. And also really addressing those barriers of over-medicating your child or having a reminder system that helps parents really maintain the routine, because this could be a life and death situation, and answer some of these barriers or really address some of the weaknesses to the study is providing this age-appropriate information in schools and communities, because there's really just a lack of public knowledge about epilepsy and managing it, and the stigma has really posed a tremendous just threat in terms of understanding and accessing the appropriate information. Lastly, I just have a little bit of references and a lot of it and questions. Thank you.
Thank you to all the panelists. I think that a lot of good information was shared today here. Now we open the discussion floor for questions. Our panelists are here. Please introduce yourself if you will ask the question and ask which of the panelists you want to address. And I open the floor for discussion. Questions or discussions?
You got all the information. That's great.
Yeah, we have questions here. Okay.
Yeah.
What's your name and your name?
We didn't do like a side-by-side comparison, so I can't tell you exact numbers, but I can tell you that just from our own experience that the numbers were just phenomenal, because people were more engaged on the phone. And so with the group classes, we found that we had more dropouts, like during the, because we have a series of, you know, either like 4 2-hour classes, or we tried like, you know, different combinations of that, because it's 10 hours of education. And so we tried like all day sessions, we did all those different things. But we found that it just really wasn't conducive to keep people either engaged for the entire day or over the course of those classes. So we had a high dropout rate and a high rate for people to even sign up, to even attend. So they would have like that initial visit, but that was it. And we know that, you know, the initial visit's great because you can like give them a little bit of information, but they're so, kind of like APHA, they're so overwhelmed, you know, like, you know, with the first thing that really is critical to have those other follow-ups. So I don't have an exact number, but I can tell you it's like, you can't even compare them, because it was just so phenomenal with the telephonic. We had very few dropouts, like with telephonic.
Sure. I had a question about the information seeker and computer use. Did you consider, what was your definition of computer use? Did you consider smartphones as computers, or did you like the literal desktop, laptop?
Okay, so we had a series of questions. When we did our initial segmentation, which was like 5 years ago, we didn't have, or maybe 6 years ago now, we didn't have a whole set of questions on smartphones. But when we just did it in Harrison, but we added those. So they weren't, that wasn't part of the initial segmentation. We did a computer use for like work, school, pleasure, and we have internet use
and what they looked they were and how they looked at them. But at that time, they just we weren't asking for something. So that's a really good question.
Yeah, hi. I'm Carrie Rosenthal from NYU Medical Center. And one thing that seems to be a challenge for providers, particularly is the distinction between speaking a language other than English and being low English proficiency. So that often when they're looking, a medical record for someone who doesn't have health literacy, they're looking for people who don't speak English, which, is not okay. So I just thought I'd just ask, since you have all done work in this area, have you had any experience talking to providers about how to detect who might need assistance in understanding because they have more literacy as opposed to speaking English and Russian?
Well, as a nurse, I can tell you, and just over the years in my experience, and you all probably are aware of this, when the physician's in the room at a regular appointment or in a hospital setting, I mean, everybody talks and sort of share information, and the family's okay. Uh-huh. And the minute they leave, they're asking the nurse what they say, like, what does that mean? So my whole career, we've done that. And I think the big change now, which I'm so excited about in healthcare, is seeing the fostering that team, because I think the team is what helps that, because providers are being so driven to see folks and kind of work to their highest level, right, so they spend this much time with the individual. And so when you have a team established, so you have your medical assistant, your case managers, your nurses, or whoever else is on the team working with the individuals, that helps to support the information. And then you get at, because you're developing, you get to know the person a little bit better, and you develop that relationship, you get to know that. And as a diabetes educator, I can tell you that once people got to know me a little bit, like I didn't always know when people couldn't read, for example. They wouldn't honestly just tell me the first time they met me, I can't read. But after we developed a little bit of a relationship, they would divulge that to me. And I was, thank you for sharing that. So let's talk about that. Let's figure out. So I think part of it is the relationship building. I think team support is huge to make that better.
Oh, all of them? We have 10 more minutes.
Okay.
Said it.
the educator's going to call, you know, Tuesday at 2 o'clock, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Very few times we use it.
Your next question to the next presenter?
When you're looking at the missed doses, did you actually look at the pattern of missed doses? Because to me, as a physician, it's a big difference between somebody who on average forgets once a week versus somebody who doesn't make it 45 days in a row, and I'm wondering if I have
a Yeah, we saw those two extremes. So our proportion was like in the past 30 days, 0 to 5 times, how often did you need, you know, get one day. How much you remove this statement. So we
have any more questions? Thank you for being here. I think it was a great set of presenters.